so forth. A lot of people are asking me, and you all know how good I am with information. Amen. I have it down. I had them at 5 months old instead of 5 weeks. So sometimes information just kind of blows past my head, and I don't gather it all. So why don't you say a word about it?
Amen. Amen. Well, it's a joy to be back in the house of God, and I sure am thankful for this opportunity to be here. And enjoyed the service this morning, and enjoying the service this afternoon as well. I believe the Lord's wanting to do something. But beforehand, sorry, I'm trying to get straightened up here. I wanted to give a little bit about the burden that God's put in our hearts, specifically for Guatemala. And as I said this morning, the Lord gave us a specific desire to get into the villages. But how that came about is in 2010, the Lord allowed me to go and spend some time on the mission field in Mexico for a couple months. And while I was down there, the Lord began to put a call on my life to be a missionary, and just began to give me a desire for Spanish people that I never had before, and I wanted to reach them. And so through that, I came back home and just cried and I wept and cried and I wept and cried and I wept. I just didn't know where the Lord had me go, but I tried to talk Spanish people as much as I can out in public and at restaurants and stores. I would always try to be, God had just given me unusual liberty and unusual desire to reach those people. And then in 2014, my pastor came to me and asked me about what he felt like the Lord was calling us into, which direction, towards pastor evangelism or missionary. And I told him that God had given me a desire to reach Spanish people. And so in 2014, we started the Spanish work at our home church. There's some information back there on the board about it. And during that time, we'd go out on Saturdays, door-to-door visitation, and we would stereotype the houses. Hey, man, try to find the Nike symbols and the checks. And I don't know if y'all know, y'all don't have a lot of Spanish people up here, so y'all don't really know all about that. But we would try to find the Spanish people. And during the time that we would do that on Saturdays, we probably 8 months of ministry, probably knocked on over at least 400 doors. And during that time, every single family that we come in contact with during this ministry was from Guatemala. And I didn't think nothing of it. I just thought they all migrated to Chattanooga, Tennessee area. I just didn't know. And but we just started praying, started having the ministry going there. And within, I guess, about 3 or 4 weeks, we started Sunday school. And during Sunday school, we would take prayer requests. And these families that started coming would pray, Brother Josh, would you pray for our family and our people in Guatemala, that they would hear the gospel and they would have an opportunity to be saved. And I heard that week after week after week. And God began to break my heart for those people. Never even been there before, but God just began to break me for Guatemalans and the people there in Guatemala. And so I got on Google, believe it or not. Amen, preacher, I know what you said this morning about the internet and all. But I got on Google, and I started Googling the people and the culture and the ways and the religion and all those things. And God just began to put a desire in me to go there. And so in 2015, we took a survey trip. Well, we took a trip. My wife didn't know what was going on. I just told her we were going to see Spanish people. She'd never been out of the country before. And so I wanted her to see that. But at the same time, I was praying that God would speak to her heart about it as well. And so we got down there. We got off the airplane and got busy serving God. Amen. I think we went 8 maybe, and then we went straight to a village, and we went and greeted the people and everything. But we throughout the week was able to go into public school and that's a Catholic public school. And going down there, was sat down with a Catholic principal and asked him for an opportunity to sit in a Sunday school class and preach to him. And he gave us 30-minute class period time. And so we went in there and preached the gospel to about 40 kids. And I had 2 get saved while I was in that class. And God just opened that door. And then also while I was down there, the assistant mayor gave a radio station to the fellow that was down there. And the radio station, the FM secular radio station, that reaches out to 300,000 people, and on Fridays from 12 to 1, and a very good time. And down there, a lot of people listen to the radio. They don't have an MP3 to stick in their ears, so they'll just turn on the FM radio and they'll listen to it. And so for an hour on Fridays, God gave us that that while we was down there, and we were able to see ministries that God, or the doors that God were opening for ministry down there. And but specifically, we was able to go to some villages, and while we was down there, the Lord began to open my heart. Jeremiah said in the book of Lamentations, mine eye had affected my heart, and that's what began to happen in my life. I began to see village after village after village that had no gospel preaching church, no gospel preaching out, nothing reaching them with the gospel. Not even some of them, not even JWs or Mormons. And so we're thankful for that. Amen. They seem to get everywhere before us somehow when we have the truth and they have the lie. And so, but I saw that. I began to see these people that they were hungry. They had a desire to learn the Word of God and to know the Word of God. They have questions after question after question about eternity, about Jesus. And we was able to see that. And while we was down there, the Lord just confirmed it in my heart that that's where we need to be. But He began to work in my life, my wife as well. Now, my wife went to school for 7 years, has her doctorate degree in physical therapy. And so I knew if we was going to leave everything behind, careers, jobs, salary, all those things, that God was going to, I wanted Him to speak to her heart as well about it. And so we got down there, and about, I guess on the third or fourth day down there, I remember my wife looking at me with tears in her eyes as we got on the side of her bed to pray. And she looked at me and she said, "Honey, I feel like this is where God wants her family." She said, "I really feel like this is where we need to be in the ministry." And I thank God. I said, "Well, hallelujah, honey." I said, "God done spoke to me about it." I said, "If He's confirmed it in your heart and He's confirmed it in mine," I said, "then I guess it's God's will." Amen. And so I was thankful that God spoke to both of us about that. And then God gave me the little slogan, I guess you call it back there, bearing the cross in a barren land. And it is a dry and thirsty land. They need the gospel. They're dried up with religion. They're dried up with a lot of Catholicism and a lot of Protestantism, how you say that, and a lot of emotional, work-based religions. And they need the gospel, amen? And so our desires specifically to get in the villages and give these people a little, I like to call it a metal roof, cornstalk, praise God, church, amen? And so just throw one up and throw it together and have a little church for them people to go to. And that God would train up the nationals to preach to those churches. And not just that, but God would train up nationals to go to the mission field. Amen. I'd like to see that. And so that's the specific burden of our heart God's given us. And so I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait. As we like to say, we can't wait to be home in June. And so Lord willing, we're going to be pulling out of the States June 29th. And so we're excited about what God has planned for our family. And so we just ask for your prayers as we begin. I've never moved to a different country before. And it is a whole new, it's not like moving to Georgia, I mean, or Tennessee. I mean, it is crazy. I mean, all the visas, all the paperwork, you got to have things translated into Spanish. I mean, it is work. And so y'all help us pray that God will give us wisdom on that. I definitely don't want, we shout about the how we need to deport people here back to their countries. I don't want to get down there and be deported back here. And so y'all just pray for us that we do everything correctly, and that God would give us wisdom concerning those things. And then as well for our boys, Judson, the youngest of one, we don't mean this ugly, but we call him Football Head. And he was born with an oblong shaped head, and he was diagnosed the day he was born with, if I can say this right, craniosynostosis. And if that's not right, then you can talk to my wife, she'll tell you how for the pronunciation is. But anyways, what it is, it's when the sutures in your skull, and I'm looking at you, honey, so if I get this wrong, you can say uh-huh or nah-huh, okay? And so the sutures in your skull stay open so your brain can grow. And the top suture in Judson's head is already put together. And so what they'll have to go in is they'll go in and do a zigzag cut from ear to ear and take off a skull, reconstruct that, and then put it back together. And that will give the brain the room to grow. And so and we're thankful. They usually say with that comes underlying problems, Down syndrome, autism, different things. And so we're thankful that there's no other problems. Amen. And I'm very grateful for that. And but at the same time, no matter what, it's a little boy going through a surgery. And so, you know, of course it's going to be a little tougher for mama and daddy. But I know God's going to He's already given us the grace. He's already given us peace and everything's okay and in His will. And so, and then it's a quick recovery. The doctor said from the time that we leave for Guatemala till we have to come back, there is no problems that we have to worry about. They said that once the surgery is complete, which is about a four-hour surgery, we'll stay at the hospital for 4 to 5 days, and then 4 weeks after, then we can go back to Guatemala, amen, and go back to, we'll still serve God, but we'll go back to our homeland and go back to Guatemala and where God's called us to. And then for their health, they what we're going back to the doctor for Tuesday. Amen. I'll just be honest. Is that okay? I was in a meeting last week, and a preacher was preaching a message, and we had another diagnosis with our youngest girl. She had something come up with some problems with her kidneys. And I was sitting in a service, in a missions conference, but, matter of fact, and I was sitting there. And has the Lord ever spoken something to you? A clear, audible, just like something, just clear, direct to you. He just asked you a question. I was sitting there in service, and I hadn't even told my wife this yet, but I don't know why the Lord's impressing me to say it now. But I was sitting there, and it's like the Lord just whispered and said, "What would it take for you to stop? What would it take?" And I sat there and I thought about it. And I thought, "Lord, you've put this in my heart. There's nothing. I said, "I don't want to." And I questioned my own flesh at the same time as he said that. I said, "Well, honestly, though, I don't know what my flesh wants to do." A lot of people look at it and say, "Y'all got all these medical conditions. Why don't you just stay back and give it some time to rest?" But at the same time, I know that God's called our family. And God's put a desire in our heart to reach people that need to be reached with the gospel. And in my heart, I know that God will take care of us if we're in His will. And but as I sat there, I thought about that over and over again. And I said, "Lord, I don't want to quit. I don't want to. There's nothing in me that I can go back to. There's nothing worth going back to. I just want to serve you all the days of my life." And I thought, as I was sitting there thinking about it, I thought about Job. And Job, God told Satan, he said, "Have you thought of my servant Job?" Now, I'm nowhere near the man that Job was. Please don't take me as saying that. But God gave Job over to Satan and said, see if you can get him to quit. See if you can get him to stop for a little bit." And Job lost everything. Kids, his home, his farm. He lost it all. But he said, what is it he says? He said, "The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And I sat there and I thought about that preacher and I thought, you know what? God gave me those children. He entrusted me with those children. He didn't trust anybody else. He entrusted me and my wife with those children. But you know what? At the same time, when those kids, before they were ever born, me and my wife, we said, "God, you've given these children, but they're yours. Whatever you want, whatever you want to do, they're yours." Now I look back at that and I almost cough and say, "Wow." Now I said, I know we're not bad off as what it could be. But at the same time, it can be hard. You already got things piling up, and then you got more, and then it's more, and it's more, and it all hits you at one time. And before you know it, you're sitting there questioning, "Did I really say that? Did I really give my kids over to God?" Because the way I react reveals differently. The way that I get upset and the way I get emotional and the way I get as if I'm worried that things aren't going to work out for His good and for His glory, I still get upset, even though I've already turned them over to Him. And so you say, "But Josh, what are you saying?" What I'm saying is this. Listen, sometimes I believe with all my heart God's going to put us through things and allow us to go through trials. Number one, to build our faith, but number two, to see how serious we are. I believe that. You may not believe that, but I believe that. Some of y'all may be in here tonight facing trials. I don't know anybody in here. I don't know anybody's personal business. Somebody may be in here tonight and you're facing something and you thought, "Man, I'm serving God. I'm living for God. This ain't supposed to happen." Who said? Who said it was all supposed to be simple and easy? Who all said that there would never be trials and there would never be storms? Who said that? Satan might have told you that it's going to be easy, but God never told you that. As a matter of fact, the statement that goes around, well, God will never put too much on you that which you can't handle, that is a lie. God will put too much on you because He wants you to rely upon Him. And when we think we can handle it, God will put more and say, do you really think you can handle it? And one thing I've learned, I can't bear too many burdens. I'm an emotional man. I don't care to admit it. I'll cry over the drop of a hat. That's just how I am. And when I see my children sick and suffer, it's a whole new realm for me. And so, sometimes God will put too much. God will put too much that you can handle. He'll say, you know what? I've given you this trial, but you know what? I'm going to give you another little trial. I'm going to give you another little trial. And before you know it, you're at your wit's end. You don't know what you're going to do, but what you're supposed to be doing is trusting God. But how many times do we say, well, I don't know. I don't know why all this is happening. I know why it's happening. It's because God wanted it to. Doctors came in that day and they told us, Judson has craniosynostosis. They told us that. We didn't know what it was. Any type of long word like that don't make you comfortable. I mean, it don't matter what it is. I mean, you hear something like that, you automatically think, oh my word, what is that? And they told us, and at first, I thought, well, all right, it'll be okay. Then we went to see the neurosurgeon, and he told us everything that would go through, and I thought, well, it'll be okay. But the more I think about it, and the more the time goes on, I got a wife back there that I love and adore, and that depends upon me. And if I show the weakness, when she needs me to be strong, we're not going to make it. Frank, can I say to you, husbands, we have to be the stronghold for our wives. I'll be honest, and I think she would have probably admit to it. I'm more probably emotional than she is. I mean, I just cry sometimes for no reason. I can't explain it. But if she sees me starting to doubt, then mama's going to start doubting. And sir, you can't doubt God now. That wife's dependent upon you. She's helped while you're at work and you're laboring. She's at home or maybe at her own place of work alone. And the messenger of Satan is going to come to her and going to whisper things. This ain't going to work. You better be careful. I thought God said He was going to take care of you. I thought you were one of His. So you come home and you throw your hands up and you say, I don't even know what we're going to do. I'm so fed up. I'm just so upset. And then that wife's going to remember all those things the messenger said. And everything you're saying. And it's going to pile up. And you're going to head on crash. We got to be the stronghold for her wives, men. Above everything else, me and my wife have went through. And I know, and compared to others, I've already said, this is nothing. Let's be honest. I've not had to sit by the bedside of my 3-year-old child as she died with Coop. I've not had to sit beside one of my children as they suffered with cancer and watch them suffer and watch them struggle and watch them hurt and watch them with pain. I've not had to do that, but this little thing here has probably been one of the hardest things we've ever had to say yes sir to. This is what you want. Yes, sir. this is what you want, Lord? Okay. And friend, can I say that I've seen God give my wife grace? I've seen her give her joy, give her peace. But at the same time, she's still flesh. She needs me. We need men to be there for our wives. I don't know why I've said any of the things I've said, but I'm just trying to listen to the Lord. Let me ask you this, sir, ma'am. What would it take to make you stop? I've said it my whole life. I'll never stop serving God. But if I say we're not going to Guatemala, we're going to figure out our children. And I think your kids come first. Don't get me wrong. But at the same time, I want to keep my family in the will of God. And if the will of God is for our family, and I believe it is, to get on that airplane June 29th and fly from Atlanta, Georgia to Guatemala City, that's the will of God for my family. But if I say, no, we're waiting. And that's detouring me and telling God, I'm not going to serve you. And that's dangerous. To tell the God of heaven, who knows all, who's put all together, no, I don't want to follow your will. No, I don't want to go there. No, I want to take care of my children. No, I want to do this first. We're in danger. We're in a dangerous position. Friend, y'all please pray for my family. And I don't know if that helped anybody or not. If it did, praise the Lord. If not, it helped me. Amen. And so, but y'all just please remember my family. Remember my little girl, Marley, as well. Just a little small problem. She's going to have to take medication probably for the rest of her life until her kidneys can function properly. But there's some things going wrong there. But we know God's in control of that. And then as well, the boy. You know what's amazing, preacher? It's for the past year and a half, there's not been one thing. We've had perfect health. God's took care of us. I mean, and then as soon as we're getting ready to put everything together, it's like, pow, pow, pow. And like I said, the other day I sat down in that meeting, the Lord said that to me. And I'll be honest with you, I thought, man, is that my flesh or is that the Lord? And the more I thought about it, I thought of Job. And like I said, I'm not comparing myself to Job, but I am trying to relate to his story. If there's any men in here God would trust enough to let Satan. Job was a perfect man, the Bible says. Prayed for his children. Took care of his children. Sacrificed for his children. I believe Job was the perfect picture of what a husband should be. And God trusted him enough to let Satan go after him. So let's see if you can get him down. I don't know about y'all, but I want to earn God's trust. Amen? I want to earn God's trust. I want to please Him. I want to live for Him. And if He's given me things that are going to be used for His glory in the future, then praise God. We named our boys after missionaries. Amen? Now, they can be simple as laymen in the church. I mean, hey, as long as they're saved and serving God when they get to an age, I thank God for it. But I don't see God calling the mission field. I mean, hey, I'm not going to force that on them, but I'm going to pray it. I'm going to pray God will do a work in their lives. And if they become missionaries to come back to the United States, then praise God. By then, the United States probably will be a third world country in need of missionaries by the thousands. Amen. Y'all praise for my family. Take your Bibles real quick. I'm going to be really, really brief. And I just believe that's where the Lord wants us right now. And preacher, I hope I was okay. I didn't know we were stepping my boundaries or nothing. John chapter 20. And I have 5 points, but they're going to be fast 5 points, okay? And I mean that, amen? And so I'm going to try to be fast as I can. And John chapter 5, very familiar scripture here. And we'll start reading in verse 11. The Bible says, "But Mary stood without at the sepulchre, weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre and see of two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? And she saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. And Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. And Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. And Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. God, we've come this afternoon, God, with this upon our heart. Lord, we pray, God, this afternoon, God, that we've come to be a help to somebody. We don't know who it is, but God, I pray that you would speak to the hearts of your people, and God, that you would be glorified in the midst of us all. And Lord, we love you, we thank you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen. As I come to this passage of Scripture here, I'm not going to probably preach on a thought specific that you may think I'm going to. But tonight, as I look at this Scripture here, I begin to see something that happens in Mary's life for a few minutes that sometimes I believe with the child of God will happen in your life and in mine and everyone that's saved. Sometimes there's going to be times where it seems like Jesus is nowhere to be found. It seems like there's no sight of Him. And this afternoon I want to preach on this simple thought on what to do when it seems like He's nowhere to be found. Amen. Oh, what to do when it seems like He's nowhere to be found. We know the story. We know the story leading up to the story. Amen. And we're familiar with this. And so I don't want to labor much there. But Mary comes here looking for Jesus. And as she begins to look and she comes to the tomb, she sees that the tomb, the stone, had rolled away, and she begins to worry. She begins to panic. She begins to think, oh my, where is Jesus? Where is my son? Where on earth have they took him? And as I look at this passage of Scripture here, I see it in her life. And maybe I'm the only one, amen, hey, that's ever went through a time like this. But has there ever been a time in your life where maybe you took your Bible open and you sat down to pray or to study, and you sat down and it just seemed like it was ink and paper? There was no sight of God. You couldn't feel God. Hey, it was almost as if you were numb to God. Maybe there's been times in your life when you've went to the portals, your prayer calls, and it felt like the portals of heaven had been shut off and sealed, and there was no way for you to get into your place of prayer. It seemed like when you got on your face before God, everything was brought up to you, and it seemed like no matter how many times you prayed, how many times you sought after God, that He was nowhere to be found. I'm telling you, friend, it's true in all of our lives. I believe that with a Christian, there will be times, hey, that we will go through dry seasons. There's been times in my life, hey, that I wouldn't tell you about. Hey, but there's been times that I've tried, hey, to go and find God. I've opened my Bible before, and it didn't seem like He was nowhere to be found. Oh, but can I say to you, I'm thankful to God tonight. Hey, that throughout the Word of God, hey, I know, hey, just because He ain't there physically, thank God, hey, that He's there because He promised, I'll never forsake you. I want to see five things this evening, this afternoon, real quickly, on what to do when he's nowhere to be found, and see what Mary did. Amen. I want to say first tonight, this afternoon, that you know, when it seems like he's nowhere to be found, the best thing we can do, hey, is to keep on loving him. Amen. Hey, the Bible says that Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. Hey, she was weeping for something, friend, and it was because she missed the one that she loved. It was because she missed the one that she called son. She was missing Jesus. I'm telling you, friend, I don't know about y'all. Hey, but God's been awfully good to me, sis. As you sang that song, I thought about all the times that God has come through for me. Hallelujah. I tell you, she sings that song. There's a specific verse in there, or a saying in there. It says, through it all, God has been good. And I say through every trial, through every struggle, hey, through every heartache, there's one thing I can say. It's through it all, God has been good. Amen. Hey, this evening, I don't know about y'all, but there's one thing I want to keep doing for Jesus, and that's I want to keep loving Him. Hey, keep loving my Savior. I don't want to ever get to the place where I don't love Him. I don't want to ever get to the place, as I said this morning, hey, that I forget about what He did in my life as a 16-year-old boy and save my soul and turn my life around. Hey, He did that, thank God. Hey, because the Bible says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Hey, can I say but God commended His love toward us. Hey, thank God. Hey, that He first loved us. And because of that, we can love Him. Hallelujah. I say, you better never stop loving Him. You better not stop weeping. You better never stop trying. Hey, you better stay on your face and keep telling Him how much you love Him. Amen. I don't know about y'all, but as a husband, I like when my wife says, I love you. As teenagers, you throw that slogan around, it don't mean nothing. But when you get married, you hear that wife tell you, I love you. Woo, praise God. Ain't nothing can beat it. I love it, preacher. I love it when my wife looks at me and says, I just love you. At times I'm thinking, why on earth do you love me? I mean, there's times I ain't done nothing for her, but you know what? She just loves me. And you know what, friend? This afternoon I truly love her. Oh, but more I love her, more I love them children. There's a God in heaven that I love. Hey, there's a God in heaven that I adore. Hey, there's a God in heaven that I don't want to displease. Hey, I want to serve Him. I want to say, I've said it before, hey, that I've never been dissatisfied in Jesus. Oh, but there's been times, hey, He's been displeased to me. Hey, I don't know about y'all. Hey, but I want to love on Jesus more and more in this day and time. If the thought and the sight of thinking of one day standing face to face to Jesus doesn't bring any type of joy in your heart, you're either not saved or you're not right with God. Amen. Keep loving Him this afternoon. Keep loving Him. Keep loving Him. Hey, He's loved you, and you should just keep on loving Him. Not just that, but I want to say secondly, hey, we should just keep on looking for Him. Amen. The Bible says she stooped down and looked. She stooped down. She got down there, and she began to look and see if she could find Jesus. Has there been times, as I said, you open up that Bible, and you open up the Word, and you go to that passage of Scripture that's helped you throughout life, and I tell you, open up your Bible, and it don't seem like that verse ain't there. It ain't doing the thing it did for you way back when. Hey, and it just seems like ink and paper. Hey, there's nothing on there that can help you. Hey, can I say, just keep on looking. Hey, just keep on looking around you. I don't know what God's going to use. Hey, I don't know what He's going to use to reveal Himself to you. It may be another brother or sister in Christ. Hey, going through a trial, going through a storm, and you see that brother or sister struggling. Oh, but you see the grace of God on their life, and you begin to think, there's Jesus, thank God. Hey, there's Jesus on their life. Hey, can I say, I don't know where, hey, God's going to send Himself to you at, in your times if you don't know where He's at. Can I say to you, don't stop looking for Him, amen. Don't stop looking. Keep looking for him. Does anybody ever lose their wallet every day other than me? And their keys? I'm the worst. I mean, I can literally set my wallet down, turn around, and forget where I put it. I mean, it's that bad. Amen. And I get that way sometimes. I've even dealt with my cell phone before, preacher. And I know what you said this morning, but I'm a young folk. So if I don't have my phone, you know, we can't exist. There's been times I've left my phone sitting somewhere and I can't find it. And you know what's the worst thing about it is when you left it on silent. Or it's dead. And then it's like, there's no hope! It's gone! And then you pay $5 or $10 a month for insurance, but you still have to pay $100 in order to get the new phone because, yeah. But you know what? When I lose something, I about go crazy trying to find it. And my wife gets mad. She's like, you're tearing this house apart. I'm like, well, I got to find that. We got to have it. And we just keep on and we just keep on and we'll keep on looking for it. I remember one of the worst things we ever lost was going down the road. Listen, I've lost keys, I've lost wallets. That ain't nothing compared to what she's done. We was going down the road one day, and she's sitting there playing with her ring. And she looked down, and she went, Josh? And I said, yeah. She said, the middle stone? Yeah. She said, it's not here. I said, oh. I think a week before that, I lost my wedding band, and I got grief. She said, it's gone. I said, it is. She said, yeah. I said, it'd be all right. She's like, you're going to be all right. What are you talking about? She said, that's my ring. And so, being the wonderful husband that I am, I go to Kay's. I say, what kind of diamond can I get to go in the middle of this ring? So I went ahead and just went out and just bought a diamond and sent the ring off. I knew what I'd paid for that ring the first time. And getting another diamond was about how much I paid for the whole set the first time. And so I was just like, well, whatever. She'll be happy. Happy wife, happy life. Remember that, always. Anyway. I remember, though, we got home. And I don't know, just something, I guess the fact that we didn't have the money, it just said, you better look for that diamond. It's here in this house somewhere. I thought, Lord, there ain't no way it's in this house. We travel all over the place. I mean, probably in some prophet's chamber, and some missionary's going to find it other than us. And they're going to take it, and they're going to get that thing cashed in for $2,000, and we're just going to be out of the creek without a paddle. But you know what? I got down on my hands. We had hardwood floors in that parsonage we're staying in. And I got down on my hands and knees like this. And I started pacing, preacher, that floor. Just kept on. And I stopped. And as God is my witness, and my wife, it's on her hand. Well, no, it's not. But it's somewhere at the house. Yeah. So I looked down, and I see that diamond. And I said, there ain't no way. I said, that's one of the little girls' bedazzled sets. That's something. That is not. And I said that, and I picked it up. And I said, honey, I think I found the diamond. I mean, I was just blown away. I just thought to myself, there ain't no way this is that diamond. And she got it. She been crying. Well, I got all teary-eyed. I was like, praise God. And I'm not crying because I found the diamond. I'm crying because, thank God, I can go back to Kay's, get refund, and I won't have to pay that. Thank God we found the diamond. But you know, there was labor that went into that, trying to find that. Keep on looking. I think that's my third point anyway, so we'll just go ahead and say it. Keep laboring. Keep laboring. Keep laboring. It's going to take work. Hey, though it seems like God's nowhere to be found, it seems like the portals of glory. Hey, just keep laboring. Don't stop with the buses. Just keep on. Hey, even when them kids say, I don't want to come. Hey, y'all's church is, y'all just a little different. And whenever they say, hey, just keep on running. Hey, just keep on riding the buses. Hey, just keep on going to Sunday school. Hey, when it seems like things get tough and it seems like things are going hard, can I say just keep on laboring? Hallelujah. This Mary speaks up. I may have went out of order, but it'll be all right. Nope, that's right. Jesus speaks up. And he says, why weepest thou, woman? What are you crying for? And she's supposing him to be the gardener. My wife gets on to me here because I like to joke. It wasn't Jesus the gardener, it was Jesus the Savior. Amen. Y'all like it. But she thinks it's the gardener. And she turns around and says, will you just tell me where he put him? I'll go find him. Just tell me where he's at. I see labor in that. Because she was willing to go wherever. There may be times in your life that you have to go out, and I don't mean this by hunting, but I'm talking about there may be times in your life the only place that you can get a hold of God is in a specific place. There's been times that I couldn't get a hold of God at the house. I'll drive down to the church, try to get away from everything, and get on my face before God, just start crying out to God. Say, God, if this is where you want me to be, God, if this is where I need to find you, oh, thank God. Hey, there's been times at the house, hey, that I haven't been able to get a hold of God, but that little parsonage we got, preacher, it's on top of a mountain, and it's got a rock that overlooks the valley there, and there's been times have gotten rough, and I went out there and I stood on that rock and looked down that valley, and I thought to myself, that valley's low, that valley's dry, that valley seems to be real far down. Oh, but on the other side, there's a mountain coming, thank God. And I'm glad on the top of that mountain I can find my Savior. Hallelujah, thank God. I'm glad, thank God. Hey, when at times of when I don't feel like I can find Him, I can keep laboring, I can keep going until I find Him, hallelujah. Don't quit, child of God. Hey, don't say, well, he's not around. I'm going to sit down and just fill my place. I'm just going to sit here and just be an obedient child. No, friend. Hey, stop. Keep going to Saturday visitation. Keep running the buses. Keep teaching Sunday school. Hey, keep singing in the choir. Hey, keep singing the specials. Hey, just stay faithful to God. Hallelujah. Keep laboring for Him. Thank God, Mary, she kept laboring. She kept longing for Him. She longed to be with Him. There's been times in my life where I just wanted to be with Jesus. I didn't care about, I'll just be honest, I love my wife, but I didn't want to be with her. I didn't want to be with my kids. I just needed God. I'm telling you, honey, you don't know this. Them trips, past 2 weeks, I drove down to Mississippi and drive back 12 hours. And I'm telling you, I did it all by myself, but God sent those meetings just in time. Because I get driving down that interstate, brother, and I'm telling you, I'll turn in a song or turn in a preaching CD. And I'm telling you, God sent something right on time for me. And I'll get to going down the interstate, and y'all just have to excuse me. Hey, but I got a little foggy-eyed in the car. I begin to think about the goodness of God. I begin to think about the grace of God. And I'm having to pull over the car and say, thank God, hey, that you met with me. Thank God that you've helped me and you've encouraged me, Lord. Oh, thank God, hey, for the times, hey, where we just need to long to be with Jesus, hallelujah. Oh, I just long to be with Him. I long to be in His presence. I don't want to be dry as cracker juice. I don't want to be a dry, dead-up Christian, hey, that can't smile, hey, when Jesus is mentioned. I just want to be, hey, longing to be in the presence of God. I want to feel Him. I want to know that He's there. She kept longing. Verse 16, Jesus said unto her, Mary, Mary. When He calls you by name, you know he's back. She kept on going. She kept on laying. She kept on doing. And before she knew it, Jesus, Mary, you all right? It's me. But you know, he didn't have to say that, did he? As soon as he said, Mary, she said, Master. Woo! There he is. Oh, there he is, friend. Right on time, thank God. Hey, he was right on time for Lazarus. Hey, when he was dead and in his grave. Hey, Mary said, you're too late. He's dead. He stinks. He's already wrapped up in his grave clothes. But Jesus said, no, I'm on time, praise God. Hey, and he spoke up, and Lazarus woke up out of his grave clothes and got up and walked on. And can I say to you, though you seem like you're dried up, it seems like you're dead, hey, there'll come a time, hey, that Jesus will say, listen, child of God, I'm here for you. I love you. When nobody else is here for you, I'll be here for you. I'll love you. I'll nurture you. I'll take care of you. I'm thankful to God, hey, that sometimes he'll speak to me. Keep listening for him. He listened. She listened for him. And he spoke up. And he showed up. And then he said, now, I want you to go tell everybody. I want you to go tell everybody what just happened. Could you imagine, preacher, her going back into town saying, y'all ain't going to believe this. But I went to the garden. He's gone. I thought he was done. I didn't know where he went. I thought they done took his body off somewhere. I didn't know what had happened. The stone was rolled away. She begins to tell them all this. And she begins to tell them, I thought that my Savior was gone. I thought he was nowhere near to be found. Oh, but right on time, I heard a sweet voice whisper. Woo! I heard a sweet voice whisper, and it brought peace, and it brought joy, and it made me know that no matter what, my Savior will always, always be there. It seems like he's nowhere to be found. Just keep on. Just keep on. Don't stop. If you're going through a dry season right now, don't stop. Just keep going. And sure enough, he'll show up. He'll speak up. And then sooner or later, you'll get to go out and tell everybody how good of a God Jesus really is. Now, some of y'all may not like how I preach. I don't know. I've been doing this for about, I don't even know how many years, 5, 7, 8, something. And when I was lost and in sin, I was out at the football stadium acting like a fool. Paint my body, cheer for my high school team. When I didn't play, and when I did play, I busted helmets. We got rough. We pushed each other. We jumped up. We got excited. We was playing sports. And if I thought to myself, if I can do that for the world, surely, I can do it for him. It ain't about a show either, okay? Amen? It's not about the show. I just know one way to act. You can blame it on ADHD if you want to. There ain't no such thing. But if you don't blame it on that, you can. And I say he's been too good to me. And why can't I get emotional? Why can't I get stirred up? Why can't I get excited? Hey, over the goodness of God in my life. I don't want to get dried as cracker juice. I don't want to do it. There's been times I have. I just try to keep on. So now I don't know what your storm is. I don't know what your struggle is. There may be nobody here feel that way ever. But there may be one. And I just challenge you, keep on. Keep on. Don't let nothing stop you. And in the end, when he says, Joshua Lee Hill. Yes, Lord. And I get to stand before him.
I'll get to raise my hands, preacher. Say thank you, Lord, for always being there. Thank you, Lord, for always taking care of me. Thank you, Lord, for always helping me and encouraging me and being there for me. And one day, He'll call me. Call me by name, and I'll get to stand before Him. I don't know if He'll say it like He said to Paul, "Well done, good and faithful." So I don't know. Probably not. I know who I am. If I can just get there and see Him and love on Him and kiss His feet and worship Him for eternity. And I can say one thing. It'll be the greatest life I'll ever live. Like what the song says, if I had only one word, Jesus would be heard. If I only had one life to live, and if I only have one life to live, I want to live for Christ. I want to live for Jesus. Because in the end, and when it's all said and done, it's all that's going to matter. Mr. Preacher, you come.
Would you bow your heads with me this afternoon? Father, I pray that you bless us this afternoon. In a very special way, Lord, I pray that you'd encourage. Encourage us to keep seeking after you and keep loving you and keep laboring through all the difficult times. When it seems like we don't know what to do, may we continue to seek your face. So bless and encourage some folks this afternoon, we pray. Now our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. I wonder if you'd say, preacher, you know what? Holy Spirit had something there for me. Would you pray with me? The Holy Spirit had something there for me. Yes, God bless you. God bless you. I wonder maybe if you're here this afternoon, you'd say, you know what? I'm just not really sure that I'm on my way to heaven. I've been living a lie, playing a game, but I want to settle it. Preacher, would you pray with me? That's my situation. Here's my hand. Somebody like that? That's my hand. Pray with me. Father, I pray for each of these that raised the hand this afternoon. Bless now in this invitation. We pray in Christ's name. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. You obey the Holy Spirit and come as He directs in your life while the music plays.